our NASCAR Cup Series Busch Light Pole winner for tomorrow's Geico 500 at Talladega. This is Michael's second pole this season. Yeah. I believe it's your fifth top 10 starting spot for 2024 as well. So a strong start for your team. Talk a little bit about that strong start and what it means to start on the pole for tomorrow as well.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, for us at Front Row, when we went to Daytona and sat on the front row, we're like, hey, we got something here. And kind of backed that up in Atlanta with getting the pole. And I think we all felt that pressure, knowing that we were so strong in Atlanta and Daytona to come here at Talladega and try to repeat and have a really good starting spot. And the guys put a lot of energy and effort into all the little extra details that it takes on these super speedways to get that speed. So excited for tomorrow. Feel really good about, you know, what we've been able to do this year with our super speedway program, not just with speed, but racing well. Is, you know, I think Todd has led the most laps at the super speedways this year, and we've been up front a lot. So great team effort, and excited to, you know, try to get a dark horse Mustang in the victory lane. And, you know, it's a good week for it. This week, you know, Mustang celebrated 60 years and had an awesome event in Charlotte. I wasn't there. I was actually in Oklahoma at Love's. But, you know, this is a good week for us to get a win and get the first one of the season. And we got a lot of great Mustangs starting up there with us. And we got to just execute our plan and strategy and make it all work.
All right. We're now going to go to questions. If you have a question, raise your hand. We'll work to get a microphone to you. We'll start up front here.
Hey, Michael, you've always CBS Bergen. You've always done well in...
You've always done well at Daytona, it seems, wins and just done well. The transition and how you carry information from there to here for years has been valuable. How much do you carry in the setup of the car and your knowledge on the track? And then how much is different, you think?
I think as far as a car goes, in particular with this next-gen car, it's pretty similar what you bring to Daytona to what you bring here. I mean, there's a few changes, obviously. The loading and the banking and, you know, the bumps and things are in different spots. So you're always working the details, but pretty similar altogether as far as the package goes. How you race here and how you put yourself in position to win, I feel like, is different. And so the approach that you take to get in position, I feel like, works out a little different than Daytona does. As we've seen in years past, it can happen pretty late coming to the line because the start-finish line is so far down. So definitely a different approach, but having speed, I think, correlates to both.
All right. Did you have a question? You're good? You're good. Okay, no problem. All right, we'll go to Lee.
Lee Spencer, CatchFence.com and SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. Your teammate at Richmond called his shot here, and he said that he was going to win Talladega. You think, knowing how the kind of speed you have in your cars, I know you'll be fighting him to the finish, but, you know, does he have a shot here?
Oh, for sure he has a shot. I think that Todd's done a really good job this year, and, you know, they haven't got the results that show their speed and, you know, just the level of maturity that he's shown at these races. And, you know, Atlanta, I feel like we probably had the two best cars, and, you know, unfortunately, it just didn't work out. He got, you know, tied up in that accident late and got damaged. And then I had that pit road incident. And, you know, at Daytona, he led a lot of laps, right? And so I do feel like we're in a good spot to go challenge for a win. And I'm glad that he's confident and optimistic about winning the race. And to be honest with you, I'm going to do everything I can to help that happen. And I know he'll do the same. How that all plays out, you know, is difficult. But we know the importance and what it means, you know, to win a race for Front Row Motorsports and what it means to get a car into the playoffs. And so we've worked hard the last, you know, really 2 years to work on what we can do together to be better. And I feel like, you know, Brad and Chris sort of set that standard last year, and you saw how valuable it was. And so we sort of had to change the approach of how we were doing it. We were probably being a little bit too selfish. And now we kind of understand where the value is in working together. And we've always worked together. It's never been, you know, him versus me. I mean, we've never had that atmosphere at Front Row. But it's always been, hey, my line was going. I'm not necessarily jumping down in your line if mine's going. And now we're more team effort of making those moves and trying to do it strategically together.
All right, Steve, go ahead.
Steve Conley, the podium finish. Michael, you qualifying, obviously the speed is there, especially for the speedways. Couple top 10 finishes this year. Do you feel like the speed is translating to race trim, or is there still something missing that you guys are trying to bring in with this Dark Horse Mustang?
No, I think the speed's there. I mean, I can't speak for every, you know, Ford team, but for us, we just haven't done a good enough job of executing. And we've had moments. Last week, for example, you know, we had an opportunity to take the lead there and felt like we had a car that was good enough to give ourselves a legitimate shot at winning, and I crashed, right? So I don't feel like, oh man, we're down on speed. I don't really feel that way. I just feel like we haven't done a good job at front row, myself included, to execute well enough to win a race, but I feel like we've had good speed. I'm not sitting here telling you that we are better than Larson and better than the 11 and better than, you know, the 45. We weren't, but we executed well up until that point and got track position, and they had a few mistakes, and that opened up the window where we had a shot at it, and track position is so important. So, yes, we still need to find a little bit of speed, but I feel like a lot of that is just on us just doing a better job of executing.
All right, we're going to go ahead.
This is Tracy France with Tab Media. I know you're involved in MRO. Tell me some about it and why it's important to you.
Yeah, so, you know, Motor Racing Outreach is the community inside the community. And, you know, for me, it's super valuable for a lot of reasons. I mean, it's for me, racing for 18, 20 years, predominantly on a Saturday and Sunday, it's my church, right? And it's where I stay plugged in. And more importantly, it's where my family is hanging out and spending time and doing community together. And you guys know I have like 400 kids, I think Jamie McMurray said on Race Hub one time. I don't really have 400, I have 5, but just them having a place to go to and being able to be at the racetrack is such a huge part, because our schedule is so intense and so tough. And it's not just the weekend, you know, like this week, I was left on Wednesday, went to Oklahoma to Love's, came here Thursday, had a Ford event, like we're going all the time. So having them here at the racetrack is what helps keep my family together and keeps me involved in the things that matter. So MRO is a big part of that. Yep.
All right, we're going to take one more question behind us. There you go.
Yeah, kind of going along those lines, for anyone new to NASCAR or those that don't know much about you, can you explain your door signature?
With the cross, yeah, that's just something that early on, it really came from David Rudiman. When I was at MWR, David Rudiman was my teammate, and he always had it over his name, and I thought, oh, that's cool. That's kind of a cool way to show your faith but also connect with fans, and so I got it from him, really. That's where it came from, and, you know, obviously he's not racing anymore, but and I think he got it. Don't hold me to this, but I think he got it from Joe Nemechek. Is that right? I would say so. Yeah. Because Joe always had it too, and I think David got it from him. So just kind of carrying the torch.
All right, we're going to come up to Kelly, Steven, and then we'll end up front here. Scott, thank you.
Kelly Crandall, racer.com. Michael, you're on the pole, 5 Fords in the top 10. Some of your fellow Ford drivers admit this is an opportunity race for the manufacturer given how the season has started. Is it a must-win race for Ford?
That's so hard to answer because I feel like every race is a must win, you know? But at the same time, I'm not panicked. If it doesn't happen tomorrow, I don't feel like, oh, we missed an opportunity and there's not another one right around the corner. So does that answer it? Yes, tomorrow's a must win, but if it doesn't happen, I'm not panicked. I think we have speed still.
All right, Steven, go ahead.
Steven Toronto, CBS Sports. Michael, when you won the pole in Atlanta, so much was made about how it was your first career pole after, I forget, however many hundred starts.
Let's just call it a lot.
Yes. Yeah. And you, it didn't take you a lot now to get your second career pole. So I guess two-pronged question here. How does it feel to be a two-time cup pole winner, and how normal does it feel now? And how much do you expect this sort of thing?
Yeah, that's a great question. So, you know, as far as getting the pole at Atlanta, it was over the moon exciting, right? To get our first pole, or my first pole, front row actually had a pole prior to that. And so it was a cool moment, a cool experience. But I'd be lying to you if I told you that we didn't come here expecting to get the pole. And I say that because we ran so good at Daytona, qualified well, really close to getting the pole there, got it at Atlanta. We brought our Daytona car to Talladega with our Atlanta engine. And so we were like, hey, we kind of got the best of both worlds. We were coming down here with the expectation to sit on the pole. I mean, obviously, it doesn't always work that way, but we had reason to think that we could. Gardner, my PR guy there, when we were walking to qualifying at COTA, he's like, hey, do you want to stop in and do your top 30 or top 25 media obligation? I was like, no way, man. I'm going to get the pole. I'll be in there afterwards. We'll talk to everybody. And I think I qualified like 25th. You guys would have to back me up on that. So just because you think you're going to go down there and do it doesn't mean it's actually going to happen. But today when we were walking out, he's like, you want to go to the bullpen? I'm like, no way, man, we're going to get the pole. And I said, wait a minute, I told you that at COTA too. And I think we qualified 25th. So you always have high hopes and expectations. But I felt like we had a reason to be optimistic about today and tomorrow.
Thanks, Mike.
Yep.
All right. And we'll go to Scott up here.
Yes. Scott Griffin, CBS in Birmingham. I've covered up for these things. You don't win this race on lap 43, right?
No.
I mean, so it was 188. So patience, and just talk about patience to win this race and do well at Talladega, balanced with you are on the front row, you know, and
yeah,
you got to go 2 or 3 hours of that. So just that balance there.
I think it's changed over the years. There's been some guys in the last 2 years that maybe have been able to cycle to the front at the end when it counts. But the style of racing, and as good as everybody is at executing, you don't really ride around anymore and stay out of the trouble. There's times where high intensity and everybody's getting a little crazy and you feel that and you're like, I'll probably not stuff it three wide. But at no point do you want to lose track position. And that's what's really changed over the last couple of years, especially with this next-gen car. It is hard to go from the back to the front. And so if you are safely in the top five or eight, you really want to stay there. And a lot of times you have to actually drive and fight really hard all day long to stay there. So yes and no. I think you don't want to be the guy that's making big, bold moves that is putting everybody in a compromising position. But you have to fight hard to keep your track position because there's no guarantee that you're going to get it back. And I think that last year I probably did a bad job of that. I ended up cycling to about 16th or 17th with 12 laps to go. And I'm like, I'm not going to wedge myself up there. I know there's going to be at least one or two big crashes before the end of this. There's no sense of being in it. And they never came. And I finished 17th or 18th. And then you look back at that and you're like, oh, man, I should have been aggressive and I should have wedged myself up in there. So sometimes that old school mentality, the Ryan Newman, Denny Hamlin, Martin Truex Jr., you know, stay out of the trouble, be in the back and surge to the front when it counts. It's just harder to do now, and so you see guys like even Martin and Denny race hard all day long and be up front because it matters that much.
All right, Michael, congratulations
again.
Thanks for spending time with us.